Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Musician's Mentor Podcast. I'm your host, Travis Mark. And before I get started, I'd like to just say I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving last week, Thursday. Today's guest is Fort Worth, Texas's own David Tribble. David is an ex-teacher turned performer, now singer-songwriter based out of the state. And he just released a new record called Sunset Sunrise, which I strongly encourage you to check out. As usual, if you're getting anything from these episodes, please leave us a rating or review on your preferred streaming platform. But without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, David Tribble. David, it's Travis. How you doing, my man?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Thanks for doing this. I'm actually really looking forward to it. It seems like a nice chilled out day, and I just feel like we're going to have a good conversation. I was listening to a bunch of your music this morning, and it's put me in this really like kind of like, I don't mean to sound all arty and hippie, but it's put me in kind of this real like, let's just have a good conversation with good people and talk music. It's what a cool opportunity. I'm grateful for your time, man. So we're going to hit it. And, you know, I do this to start every podcast. In fact, I keep thinking I should change format before people start getting bored. But I always like asking my guests to do a brief introduction on themselves. Rather than me just hyping you up, which I'm going to do post-recording anyway, you know, just tell us a little bit about who David Tribble is. Tell us where you've been, what you're doing, what you've done, just kind of the highlight reel so that the listeners kind of know who they're listening to.
All right. Yeah, man. Well, thank you again for having me and for listening to my music. And, man, that's setting up for a good day for sure, being on here with you. Yeah, man. So I don't consider myself to be kind of the, you know, I'm just a little off the cuff when it comes to being a musician. And I have had a late start with music. Music was something I discovered. I had to discover on my own. Like I had to do it on my own time. Like, you know, when it was forced on me, when I was younger, I did it, but I didn't really like it. I didn't really understand why it was such a amazing thing. And once I started creating my own music and putting words on a page and then understanding how to play the guitar and then saying, oh, wow, I can make these two things, you know, harmonize and be even better when they're together. So, you know, my first interactions was, you know, as a writer was journaling, writing in a notebook, expressing my thoughts. I come from a split home. You know, my parents were divorced when I was in like middle school. And so it was just kind of one of those areas in my life where I just had to get some things out, you know, and writing was a way for me to do that. And then I was about 17, 18. I learned how to play the guitar, and then I started writing right away with the guitar. So I'm a very original musician. Organically, I don't listen to a lot of music. I'm not a music, you know, jukebox guy. Man, I just love what music allows you to do as a person living in this world. because it's a way to connect in an amazing way. I don't feel like there's a whole lot of rules outside of the theory of music, which I don't have a huge grasp on, but you know, that's the beauty of it as well. I mean, you don't have to have a master's in music to make music that just resonates the way it's supposed to resonate, you know? Man, I'm big on original music. I survived my 20s. you know, I go to college. I'm kind of learning how to play the guitar. I'm learning how to, you know, what all this means. And playing talent shows, playing open mics, just kind of getting my feet wet with playing in front of people, which is something I was always always happy to do. So I played different open mics, different talent shows. I looked for opportunities to share the music that I was most connected with, which was my original music, and songs that I've been writing from my experiences. And so, you know, those things happened pretty early for me, and I was okay with that. I mean, I was nervous. Stage fright is a real thing, and just nerves are just part of this. But, you know, I just certainly was adamant to share what I had to say. And as an original artist, I think that's important, because someone out there can relate, you know. And so I got out of college. I got a teaching job, as I said, and then I got married my wife a few years after that, which is a huge highlight reel. I married an amazing woman. She's so supportive. She supports my crazy dreams, my crazy schedule, all the things, which is huge. And I try not to take that for granted ever. And so all this whole time I'm playing, I'm recording occasionally, starting to, you know, get my music to where you know available. And in 2009 is kind of when that kind of hit. And so fast forward a little bit, we have a daughter, Harper. My kids are huge Tyler Reels as well. I recorded an album, really bad album, you know, the first one. But you know, it was just all a stepping stone. I recorded some other stuff, and this whole time I'm just writing. I wrote a lot in college. I wrote a lot when I was teaching, when I was single. So, you know, getting used to getting those thoughts on paper has always been something I feel like you can't do enough as a songwriter.
And sorry, I'm going to just chime in here for a second before I lose my track of thought with some of the things you're saying. A couple things I would just love to jump on here is, you know, something I never really get into with a lot of the people that I've had on this show before is, firstly, stage fright. That is a real thing. You know, ironically, it hasn't come up. So I'd like to just talk about that for just 1 second. How did you overcome that?
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily think I have stage fright, but I do hear people talk about it a little bit, you know, when I'm out and about, and about nerves and things. And, you know, it's just something you have to learn to manage, just like anything else in your life that may not belong there. I have picked up on something recently about everyone's so individual. I mean, I can't be somebody else since no one else can be me, right?
Yeah.
And so I just feel like, you know, we have to understand the ownership of that moment, those things, and just, you know, confidence. And are you, I mean, is this something that you just kind of on a whim started to do? Is this something that, you know, you like to do just for fun? I mean, if that's the case, you're probably not that nervous, you know, but if it's something that you really care about, something that you have put a lot of time and effort into, I think the nerves can be there, but you also just have to kind of own whatever it is, man, you know, because I told my daughter yesterday, I'm like, you know, you're making it worse before you even give it a chance.
Yeah.
And my wife looked at me and was like, wow, that's deep. That's pretty good. I was like, I don't know. I don't know if it's that deep, but it's true, because our head is just can be such a damaging thing, you know, to our performance and to our success. And so, man, you just have to get over it. If it's important to you, if this means more to you than being nervous, and which is such a little thing that can become a big thing, right? You just have to figure it out, man. And you may not every time, you know, but it doesn't have to, that can't keep you down, you know, you got to keep doing it. For me, it's a calling, man. I'm called to do this. I believe that fully with my heart and my soul that I'm called to do this. And I am so blessed to be able to say that. And so nerves are not going to keep me from doing it.
Yeah, it's a great way to look at it. Almost just like a, you know, do it and like you said, own it, and what happens, happens, man. I'll ask my other questions in a second. I cut you off, so please finish.
No worries, man. Yeah, sorry. I'm trying to put the highlight reel together here. Yeah, man. So music's just part of my life, 100%. And then I'm married. We have a child. And we have another child. We actually adopted a child later on in life after our first. And so we have two girls. And so, you know, fast forward to 2016, I quit teaching. I talked to my wife, and we both agree that, you know, I'm going to pursue music more, and I'm going to figure this out. And and teaching was kind of just something that just really kind of fizzled for me. And so about a year and a half ago, we both decided that I was going to do this full time. And that, you know, my wife looked at me and said, why don't you just try to fill up as many weekends as you can. That was the starting point for us as a musician family, right? Full time. And that's what I've been doing. And that's what the Lord has blessed that road, and he's opened doors, and I've made so many great connections through the years of playing music, of being out, of playing, you know, different places, that those connections started to come to the surface and have led to amazing things. You know, recording another album that came out about a week and a half ago, but getting the studio time, just everything worked out financially, which was huge, which is what it, you know, it's just part of what this is. It takes money to do this, or it takes the right people. And so I've been really blessed to meet some great, amazing people, supportive, and, you know, that have come alongside me and believed in what I'm doing. And, man, you know, you can't really predict those kind of things, you know, that it's just kind of puts you on your most humble behavior when you have those kind of things happening, and it's just good for you. And it fuels what I'm trying to do moving forward. And, you know, I've been to Americana Fest in Nashville 2 years in a row because of some amazing people out in Granbury, Texas, Fort Worth, Texas. All these people, you know, I play their venues, I play their cities, and they're in my corner. And, you know, that just took a long time, man. You know, I mean, it just took a very long time to get to this point. But when I talk to songwriters, when I talk to people that do this, I'm like, you know, you have to be committed to endure, because, you know, you don't know how long you're going to have to endure, you know, but here's the cool part. You can keep writing songs that whole entire time you're enduring. And it makes it worthwhile, because those songs are so fresh and in your journey. But you're like, well, I'm still doing the same stuff. I'm still playing the same gigs, blah, blah, blah. You know, you just never know. You never know.
Dude, completely. And something that I say to people quite often is, it's funny how, you know, you briefly touched on the fact that we can be almost our own worst enemies. And it's so true, because, you know, even when you do get into a point, you know, there's so many different levels that people look at in life. And like, music is super funny, and it's no different to any of the other sort of vocations out there in relation to, you know, you kind of make these decisions. Okay, I'm going to start by booking every weekend. And next thing you know, you've booked every weekend and you never have a free weekend. And then suddenly in your head, it's like easy to kind of take that for granted and go, man, I wish I had a weekend off. But, you know, sometimes we need to kind of ground ourselves a little bit and kind of go, you know what, I'm so lucky to be putting my music out there every weekend and making a bit of money every weekend, that some people who don't, I don't want to say that don't take this path. You know, everyone takes the path that they want to subconsciously somehow, I think. But, you know, some people, it's easy to look at normal, traditional jobs, 9-to-5s, Monday to Friday, and go, oh yeah, that person, you know, they get benefits and they get retirement plans and they get holidays and oh, they sick pay. And it's easy to take for granted that, you know, they get those things and we don't as musicians. But, you know, on the flip side of that coin, they look at people who are gigging on weekends or gigging every day or touring or whatever the case may be, and probably think, man, that guy's so lucky. He gets to do what he wants every day. You know, it's like, it's all a necessary evil in some way or the other, you know?
Yeah. And it's really great. And I've been able to catch up on something else that's been happening recently, and just being that person who comes from a 9-to-5 job, who's like, hey, I was a teacher for 14 years. I was a coach. Like, I had all that, right? And then I'm like, well, you know, I'm here on later in life. I'm just like, all right, man, you know, I'm going to go after this thing full heart, you know, with all I got, right? And it's very inspiring to people. Unexpectedly, like, they're like, man, I may do that myself. I'm like, oh gosh, you know, like, I may go after something and do this, or, you know, it's just, in this day and age, it's very inspiring to people, because I just, you know, there's so many, you know, opportunities to do things that maybe you never thought could happen, but you just have to take the leap of faith and believe. And, you know, I'm not saying that's way for everybody, but that's just kind of been a cool thing that's been unexpectedly brought up, and just regular people, like dads, like, they have regular jobs, you know. They're like, man, that's really cool. It's really inspiring. I'm like, that's what I'm here. I'm here to inspire, for sure. You know,
completely, dude.
I'm not saying you should quit your job and do something crazy, but it's cool, man.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, little disclaimer. No, that's not what David or myself are saying, if you're listening to this. However, you know, if you want to, and you feel like you've made the steps that you need to make to, you know, not land up in a situation that you're going to regret, hell, go for it, man. Why not? So, dude, I mean, you're 4 albums in. That's pretty damn good. I mean, most people, creative people, you know, I've met many in my life, and I find that sometimes a lot of people put these restrictions or these timelines on their careers, and they'll go like, yeah, okay. In fact, I was recently left a band where the singer actually had. He was like, all right, guys, 3 years, you know? And it's like, I know from a business side, you know, a business plan point of view, maybe that's a good way to look at it. But, you know, longevity and just the slow burning process of what this takes, especially if you're independent and self-funded and stuff, it can be quite difficult. So 4 albums in, bit of a heavy question, but what do you think has been the biggest struggle for you during the course of that journey thus far?
I think, you know, it's been a financial struggle for me. I think what I have to probably stands out the most. You know, I don't have any financial support besides my own, you know, bank account doing what I'm doing, except for the resources. And so what's been really amazing through my journey is, you know, my finances have not really changed, maybe even gone the wrong direction. But, you know, the quality of life is great. And like I said, my family's growing and things like that. So, you know, we trust the Lord provides, man, you know, and then we move on and do our best. But the resources, the people that have the resources, I've been able to connect with. So that's been a really amazing thing about this is, you know, I've just stayed true to what I love so much, and understand that it's a full circle. It takes listeners, it takes venues, it takes cities, to do what I want to do for a living. I don't do this without them.
Yeah.
And so because I've had that mentality and understood and respected that so much, man, all of a sudden I get the resources just out of generosity, you know, to record this last album. And, you know, these people were like, hey, we have this studio. Hey, we have these, this amazing, you know, support group. Come on, you know? And so it's, man, I mean, I'm so grateful. But the financial is a thing, man. You know, a lot of people have a lot of money that they can use for this, and I just haven't. But man, you know, that hasn't stopped me from doing what I need to do. And this last album, you know, we did it full production. I mean, had an amazing team behind it, and we recorded at a studio in Grand Prairie, Texas. The Epic Studio, and that was just all because I met the people in Grand Prairie, and I just, you know, had a residency at a venue called Firehouse Gastro Park for a year or 2 years, and one day they just said, hey, we got a studio, just nobody's using it, you want to go record an album, you want to go use it? And so I'm just like, well, yeah
of course.
I mean, an Eve console. I mean, it's just tricked out, you know, like they're just like, yeah, we just haven't really had a chance to use it. It's kind of COVID kind of shut, you know how that works. But so they're amping things back up and we're promoting that album, but I'm promoting that album. They let me record in there. And then, you know, fast forward 2 years, you know, it's the release album releases. And like literally last week I get back, I'm in Nashville. Americana Fest because of these people, and they're passing my album that they bought from me. They bought like 100 albums from me, and they just said, hey man, we just want to pass these out at the show, you know, CDs, right? And yeah. So they're passing everybody that showed up, and I mean, it's just all taken care of, you know, and I'm just doing what I do as a musician. And because of the long relationships that I've developed, I'm able to do it in a very, very good way and reach really far.
Yeah. And there's another word that seems to come up during almost every interview, but I don't always dissect into it. Relationships. You know, this is such a relationship business. You know,
so
and yeah. Again, you know, I know that there's a big part of musicians who don't want to look at it like a business. And then obviously there's the big part that do. But I mean, what advice would you give up and coming artists, whether you want to kind of think of just singer-songwriters or people in bands or whatever you want to think of, any creatives who are trying to get into this industry or who are in this industry but trying to, Or maybe trying to just branch out a little bit further. I mean,
right.
I'm not trying to ask a weird, like, hey, how do you make friends and influence people kind of thing. But like, you know, how do you go about trying to form these relationships? Obviously, if you've got a residency somewhere, that's a slow burner because that can take years to you know, people get to know you after years. But sometimes right. A lot of musicians don't have that luxury of being at a place once a week for that long. So what sort of networking, if you want to paraphrase it as that, what networking tips could you maybe share?
Well, I guess the first thing that comes to mind is this, you know, there's little, I mean, I've been in Fort Worth for a very long time. Fort Worth has been a great, huge asset to me as an artist, and so many great venues here. But it was kind of one of those areas that was really saturated. Okay, so you take it. I mean, as an artist, you want to be around other artists because that's where the venues are. That's where the opportunities are, right? But if you think about it, you're like, well, man, there's so many people here doing what I do. And so you think, well, how can I punch through it, right? Well, it's really hard to punch through that because it's so saturated with people that have been there longer than you, or, you know, that have established those relationships that, that are just more of a stingy thing for you because you just, you weren't there at the beginning. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So what I would say to those people is like, well, you know, I mean, I get it. You know, you still want to keep respecting that, that area and those people that you love and that your hometown, like Fort Worth is where I'm raising my family. So I love Fort Worth, but you also have to understand from a business standpoint, like, well, how can I be a little more like effective with the people that I'm around and maybe be a little more like upfront and more at the top of the list? So you say, well, you go into maybe the cities or into areas where you're like, no one knows me, but no one's really here to like kind of cover me up either. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you say, well, I'm just going to let people know who I am and I'm going to do what I do, do it very well. I'm going to be respectful. I'm going to make friends. I'm going to make connections in this kind of uncharted waters. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It makes total sense actually.
Yeah. And so I've been able to do that in some areas, man. And, you know, it kind of happened organically for me. I don't think I could step back and say, yeah, I kind of had a plan to do this. But, you know, moving forward, and I want to help other artists that are trying to get, you know, to gain, you know, access into new places and to new fans and things like that. And so I would say, that, you know, Grand Prairie, for instance, Texas, was a place for that where that happened for me, right? I can think of another place, Georgetown, Texas, where – another place for me where I met some people and then I go there and they have a ton of friends and then I go there again and I play and there's more people and more people, you see? So I tried to knock on the wrong door for a very, very long time. And even though that door is my front door and it's I love that door and that I just kind of had to find my own way in because the front door wasn't opening. And so instead of constantly driving through that, trying to get through that closed door, I think I put some efforts out somewhere else to where it made more sense for them to be more effective. Now, Fort Worth is, like I said, amazing. I'm trying to grow here as much as anywhere. But it is a big, big city with a ton of artists in it. And so I think it's been beneficial for me to drive a little further to meet other people in these smaller areas and to just gain, grow those connections, you know?
Yeah.
And so I step back and I think, yeah, that's been a huge part of me getting to another level as an artist right now in my last few years. But also, man, you know, I think I tell people to, if they're an artist and they have original music, and I'm not sure if this relates to the question, but it's on my brain, to play your original music, to not expect the venue to say, well, this guy's just going to play covers all night, which cool. My fans love that. My customers love that. Well, if you're an artist and you want it to be taken seriously and you have music that you want to get out there, you need to play it at your shows.
Completely.
And so people can understand that, yeah, this is very important to you and there's a depth there that they need to get to know, right?
Yeah, and if you look at, like, again, not so much now with the invent of, like, how, I don't even want to say the internet, but, like, if you look at, like, the traditional way of launching an artist in regards to when a label does pick up an artist and puts the money behind them and pushes that artist out, you know, most of these artists come out of nowhere, have this huge hit, huge following, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But those are artists who are getting that funding and that million-dollar push behind them, if that's even enough nowadays. It's probably not. But
right.
But if you look at the traditional formats, like, and I'm talking 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, even into the 90s and the early 2000s, like, a lot of bands that became big bands or artists that became household names, they were basically cover bands that played the original stuff. So it would be like cover song, original song, original song, right, cover song. Or, you know, I mean, I've got some friends who've done extremely well. I mean, these guys have had a couple number ones in like Germany and places like that. And they'll go like sell out these massive theaters and stuff in Europe. But dude, when I first met them, they were a pure cover band. I mean, they would play these, you know, your typical cover band thing, 45-minute sets, 15-minute break, or something to that effect. And I would say in 45 minutes, they would play maybe 3 to 5 originals, but they would always have their album for sale. And eventually, you know, enough people bought that album, and before you knew it, and I say this as if it happened overnight, and it didn't, it took a few years, but before you knew it, people were coming to their gigs to hear their songs. They didn't want to hear the covers anymore. So instead of playing 3 to 5 right, originals, it turned into a, well, now we play 3 to 5 covers. And eventually they became so popular that they don't do covers at all anymore. So there's really no, you know, I mean, there's no real plan. It works different for everybody. But it's funny to me that, like, you know, the fact that you almost have to point that out, and you're not the first person to point that out. So the fact that so many people want to be artists, but they don't play their own songs at their gigs. Now, listen, if a venue is paying you for a gig,
right,
and they're expecting covers, I'm not saying go and screw up that connection and not play covers, but there's nothing wrong putting your originals in. Mix it 50-50. You know, if your originals are good enough, no one's even going to know. They're going to think you're just playing somebody else's cover.
Right, hey, you don't have to make big deal.
Yeah.
You don't have to make it a big deal. I mean, you can say one sentence, hey, here's one I wrote. It goes like this. I mean, you don't have to make it a big deal. The bigger deal you make it, it's just like a mistake. When you mess up or something and you make a mistake, like the moment,
yeah,
like, well, you have to do that because no one's going to pay attention to your mistake if you just smooth over it like an icing on a cake. Like you just kind of like, oh, there's a bit of a bump there. Let me smooth it over. I mean, but if you bring it up and you want to be that guy or gal, I mean, all right. I mean, I just don't feel like that's very necessary or beneficial.
No.
Because, I mean, people have their own opinions of you, whether you bring it up or not. So, but also, yeah, I mean, and I tell people, we have I'm trying to grow a songwriting community here in Fort Worth. And I meet with songwriters every Friday at 10 o'clock. At a place called Common Grounds in Fort Worth, Texas. And I just invite people to come and just talk about music with me and talk about songwriting, because I feel like when I want to talk to songwriters, I meet them in the worst places, right? In bars and places where music is going, where, you know, I just finished a set or they finished a set, you know, so just an unlikely territory to have a good conversation. So this is just my way of saying, hey man, let's just hang out, let's have coffee, let's meet up, you know, sleep in, right, come around 10 o'clock and let's just hang out. So but I tell them, I'm like, you know, you should be playing your songs at gigs no matter what. Even, you know, play your original songs and you know, even tip the scales a little bit, like do a little bit more. If they tell you to stop, or tell them, hey, I've been playing some more original songs, I'm just saying, if they tell you to stop, then stop. But if they don't, then as long as the crowd is happy, as long as everyone else is really great in their sales, I mean, it is a business, right? You're helping them out.
Yeah.
But you can do that as an artist and not just a jukebox, right? And so I encourage that. I do, you know, think there's a huge wealth of original music here in Fort Worth, Texas, in this area. And I you know, to know that, to think that original music could be the norm here is a really exciting thing. And I try to encourage those with my friends and all these people that do what I do.
Yeah. And you know, we were talking about networking a few minutes ago. By doing your songwriter get together thing, you're building a network right there. So that's a great way to do it. You know, there's definitely something about Fort Worth, man. I mean, like, I don't know all of the Fort Worth, you know, community personally, but I know a lot of guys in that community. And even if you go as far back as, like, I really went down this rabbit hole with Fort Worth at some point, and dude, like from like the 70s, they've just been crazy good musicians coming out of Fort Worth. I mean, this guitarist down here actually introduced me to a band called Blood Rock, who I'd never heard of. Phenomenal. Basically like a Led Zeppelin kind of group, but they were Fort Worth based. And I mean, you know, obviously I've never hidden the fact that I'm crazy about a band called Flickerstick, who are famously from Fort Worth.
Oh yeah.
You know, but it's just like, dude, there's something in the water down there, man. No doubt about it. It's like,
agreed.
I feel like everywhere's got their place. And Texas, yeah. Definitely Fort Worth, something's going on there, man. Hey, listen, let's change direction here for a second, just because we started talking a little bit about it previously with writing. What's your writing process like? And if you're doing things like co-writing, how do you approach taking care of, I don't want to use the word publishing, but how do you approach taking care of like splits? You know, do you do that straight away before you write? Do you write a song and then talk about it? What's your creative process and your business side of it in general?
Yeah. Man, my life is certainly changing and constantly bouncing from one place to the other, from being a husband, being a father, songwriter, performer, worship leader, things like that. So I don't have a whole lot of structure when it comes to songwriting. I have written a lot of great songs in between my time of my family being home, and my family being at work, and me being at home, and just having time to just pick up the guitar and write. And so that's usually all it takes for me to get something out. Being in my house, I don't have to go into a certain area in the woods or take a walk. I mean, I'm like, just give me time to be still, right? And just to think and to let my heart resonate with the guitar. And those are some setups that I try to attack some songs when I get a chance. And co-writing is something new to me, man. I mean, I'm very new to co-writing. I did write a song with Luke Wade.
Yeah, we've had him on the show, yeah.
Oh, awesome. We wrote a song last November on Zoom. That was a Zoom call. It was really cool. Man, he's been a friend of mine for a little while, just an acquaintance. And it was really great that we had a chance to connect like that. And he, you know, made some time for this song. And, you know, it's a 50-50 split. Like, we were both super engaged with the song. And so that was an easy thing. He was awesome. And hopefully we can write again at some point. But then, you know, you take a song like another song I wrote with the guy who I was just hanging out with, and he came up with a title. He just threw it at me, right? And so you just say, oh, I like that title. You know, we talked about maybe getting to write something, not specifically about that, but I just was intrigued by the title because I love words. And I was like, I'm just going to go and write this song. And I did. And I wrote it. And I published it. I mean, I recorded it. It's on my album. And so for that kind of thing, it's more like, all right, if this thing hits, then we got to figure out what's going on, right? If this thing hits, then we got to figure out what the percentage is. And I think he said something to me like, well, just give me 5% or something. I mean, because in that case, it's like, well, he didn't write the song, but he came up with the title. So if I was thinking about it, I was like, yeah, I don't think I would be a 50-50 cut if it's that kind of deal. You know, we weren't in a room together. We didn't sit and write. It was more like, hey, man, that idea is really cool. I'm gonna run with it. And I did.
Yeah.
So, you know, the situations call for different things. And you gotta know who you're writing with, man. You know, don't make enemies, make friends. Understand that, you know, you wouldn't have that song without this guy or this girl, you know, and respect it and talk it out and, you know, come to an agreement.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So here's something I ask a few people, and I'm going to ask you as well. For the listeners who want to go down this path of trying to be a musician, an artist, a writer, or maybe let's specify, let's make it more songwriters. You know, is there something on the business side of things that you would suggest they try focus on early on that maybe you learnt along the way and kind of thought to yourself, oh man, I should have learned that earlier, or had I known, I could have saved myself some time. One of those kinds of situations.
I would say, I mean, if you're a songwriter, I would just say write as much as you can, you know, write at least 100 songs and, you know, just keep going. I mean, I've heard that said to me before. But at the same time, I think, you know, understand there's a lot of different avenues to make money. I would say some areas to focus on early are sync licensing and licensing companies and music publishers, and finding out how to get in front of those people, the tastemakers, the ones that, you know, can make a difference financially, because they're going to put music in everything now. Everything has music in it. And so they're looking for people that aren't famous. They're looking for people that have great music that no one knows about. And that's, you know, we fall in that category. And so that money in their mind is like, oh, this guy, this is not much at all to use their music, but it's great for us. It puts money in our pocket, gets us back in the studio to record, puts us on the road, wherever. So those are just opportunities that take time. You take a little effort. You gotta dig. You gotta find out where those people are, and email them and just get on their radar. But you know, it's something you can do early on if you have recorded music. Yeah, and at the same time, also I would say, if you have music that's demo or that's not like super produced or something that just hits, something that you just, if you can feel. Right. And that you like, and that just came across really well in the studio, and you're like, it's not great. I don't know. I mean, it's not fully produced. Look at the music that's getting out there and the world's listening to. I mean, look at Zach Bryan. Look at Oliver Anthony. These people are not spending a lot of money to record their music, especially Oliver, because he did it in the woods.
Wait, seriously? I never heard about this.
I mean, he recorded that song in nature. Like he was. I mean, and it's number one in the world. I mean, it's, so I'm just saying, don't take for granted the beautiful, you know, rawness of music and connection that it can make, because it's happening all around us. Great music is produced, mastered, like hits the ears a certain way. I mean, it's amazing. I'm not disregarding it, but you know, if something just kind of resonates, then don't be afraid to let people hear it, you know?
Yeah, totally, dude. And, you know, not that we need to, but I suppose if you're looking for an overall theme, this interview and the way your energy comes across about it definitely seems as though, like, the general consensus is, if you have art that you want to share with the world, just find a way to get it out there, you know? Be proud of it, put it out there. What's the worst that could happen? Okay, so, I mean, we've spoken about some of it briefly during the course of this interview, but you're 4 albums in. That in itself is quite the accomplishment. Well done. What do you think you're going to do next? What is the plan? What does the future hold for David Tribble?
Well, man, you know, the album's still fresh. So the album came out last week, and so I'm still getting that out there. Like I said, I got to get out there in Nashville and share that. So those connections are growing, and it was really nice to see those people 2 years in a row. I'm playing the Kessler in Dallas, Texas, which has been a bucket list for me for a while. So I'm playing that October 14th at the Kessler, opening for Paul Thorne. And on October 21st, I'm going to a festival in New Braunfels, Texas, in a jam down by the river. And it's really a cool deal because my friend Dustin Brown, who I met just playing a gig. I mean, I went down over by Belton, Texas, and I played a gig with this guy like years ago. And we've been friends ever since, man, you know. And sometimes you just meet artists and you just make a connection right away. And we were one of those kind of things. And, you know, it's been good to keep up with him. He just started his own festival. He literally, like, said, you know what, I'm going to go to the campgrounds and I'm going to put a stage and I'm going to invite my friends and we're going to have a good time. And here it is 4 years later, and this festival's grown, like, big time. We got Grady Spencer in the Work is headlining the festival, which is a buddy of mine. I've opened for them before. They're playing all over the country. They're just reaching so many people to get great, great music. And they're from Fort Worth. So I'm excited to be down there with my friends. So many other great artists. We got John Fulbright's playing. And so it's a really great festival, and I'm hoping for him this year that this festival hits and gets some great sponsors and can continue, because it's been a passion project for him and blood, sweat, and tears. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude. Planning festivals is no easy task.
Yeah. We had lunch a few weeks ago, and he's like, "Man, I'm tired." I was like, "I bet you are, man." I'm happy for him and hoping this is the year for him to set this thing off.
Yeah, man. Good luck. I hope so, too.
Yeah. So if you're in New Braunfels, October 19th or 21st, that's where we'll be, and that's where tons of great music will be, right by the river. And then, you know, shoot, after that, I mean, you got kind of some private stuff. We got a private party where I'm going to play with Cody Canada and The Departed. If you're old like me, you remember a band called Cross Canadian Ragweed.
Yeah, man.
Back in the day. this guy is the head singer, the lead singer of that band. They parted ways a while back, and he became a father and married, has great kids, great father, great dude. Looking forward to meeting him and hanging out. But yeah, I'm going to play a show with them. Going to be a big deal out there in Weatherford, Texas. So yeah, man, just some cool, fun opportunities. Got some nice weather coming up, and excited. Got some demos that I'm going to put out that we did in the studio before we tracked the album. I got some, like I said, like I just got through saying about, you know, if as an artist, I mean, if you like it and you're like, man, you know what, this turned out pretty good. I mean, I know we were just tracking it on a demo, but people put out demos now and they hit, you know, and people like them. And what someone told me, Smith Music Group is my distributing company. And a friend of mine who is a partner in that company, DJ Dugan, Dan Dugan, he told me one time, he's like, hey, man, you never know what version of a song people are going to connect with. So if you give them more than one version, you give them more of a chance to connect. And so, and they might both like both of them. It doesn't matter. They may like none of them, but it was kind of interesting to me. He's like, well, if you have it and it's good and you put work into it, like, why not put it out there as well? You know? And so I have a demo, two demos we did in studio that I really liked. And I'm going to look forward to putting those out as well, to kind of tail end the album, kind of just like, oh, hey, here's something else, you know, that associates itself. So look to do that before holidays hit. Cause everything shuts down around the holidays. So, but yeah.
Okay. David, I ask everybody this. Cool. Not to be lazy and just repeat questions, but just because I'm genuinely interested in people's different perspectives, and I'm going to ask you as well. So what do you think has been the best piece of advice you've either received or figured out for yourself along the way during your musical career or about your musical career? Any sort of tips or answers in this regard, bud?
Oh, man. I think back some of the things I mentioned. It depends on what realm, I guess, you're talking about. But as a songwriter, I was told, keep writing, write 100 songs and get to that point, get over the hump there and just keep sailing, but also I think back of a conversation I had with Walt Wilkins, amazing songwriter out here in Texas, who I met at a songwriting retreat a couple of years ago. He told me, he said, when you write a song, keep the main thing the main thing. And at first I was like, that sounds kind of like a little streamlined, almost too simple. You know what I mean? But I've been finding myself reaching into that more and more as I write, because I feel like I have gone off a path just because the words took me there instead of really thinking about the theme or the focus of the song. So as a maturing, growing artist, songwriter, I think that something that's really resonated with me.
Yeah, dude, there's something quite simplistic about that, but quite beautiful as well. I think it's so easy to get caught up in the complications of, well, I want the verse to be about this, and how about I take the bridge to that, and what about the chorus? And maybe keeping it simple is really the best thing, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I know I said that would probably be my last question, but I want to just briefly ask about something you mentioned earlier, because I don't know that much about it. But you mentioned that you were the worship leader at your church. Now, I've done a few church gigs myself. It's not my typical thing. I usually am the guy that gets called last minute to fill in for people. It's really how I've made my career. but tell us about your role as a worship leader. Like, what does that entail? Do you make charts? Do you set up the rehearsals? If you wouldn't mind indulging me a bit, that'd be great.
Yeah. No, I've been all the things. And just to go back and highlight things, I mean, I've been a worship leader and involved in church music for as long as I can remember, and it's been the foundation of guitar playing, of, singing and all those things. It hasn't been a creative space as much as it has been a performance space and an opportunity to do the things that I have to do when I get on stage: sing, play the guitar, manage a band, be poignant on being on time, and being, connected with the communication on stage with other people. So all those things are the same no matter what, you're in church or you're in a venue, they all kind of work the same. The music's different, and the Holy Spirit is on both aspects, but it's the main focus in the church, and the music and the worship. But yeah, I've managed the band. I've had to chart the songs, pick the songs, understand the flow of the service. And so, man, I contribute all that to just helping what I do and do it better, more efficiently. And church has been a huge, huge part of my journey.
Awesome, man. All right, David. David Tribble, everybody. Dude, I can't thank you enough. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your insights and just being humble with your time. Let's get you back on at some point, man. We can talk music and more songs and just spread the message of music, my man. I appreciate you. I'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Thanks for having me, man. I really enjoyed it.
Me too, buddy. Bye. There we have it. David Tribble, everybody. Make sure you check out David at davidtribble.com. My name is Travis Mark. You can find out more about myself or the musician's mentor at travismark.com or musicians-mentor.com. Thanks as usual for listening. Like I said at the top of the episode, please leave us a rating or review. And you know, it's coming up for Christmas season. So I hope that you all have had a blessed year so far and that Christmas is starting to feel festive. I know it is for me. I've got a few more gigs left, maybe about another 22, and then I'm done for the year. It's going to be great. Till next time.